I just want to tell everyone I'm thankful that you're here, and some of you came a long ways to be here, but it's good to see you. And also, just remember, lay aside every weight, everything, and ask the Lord just to really bless your heart. You know, something that's been on my heart is come aside and rest a while. Sometimes we just need to get away and just surrender everything to the Lord, which he teaches us to do daily. But we need to really just let God move in your heart and your life and have full reign in your heart. And I guarantee you, I believe he's going to do some big blessing here at this meeting. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you, and I ask you, Lord, that you'll just bless this time of fellowship, Lord. And Father, that each one of us know that true fellowship is washing one another's feet and being able to come into that oneness and that unity with you, Lord. Father, I ask you that you'll be with us, open our hearts, be with the speakers. Father, if there's songs, whatever, just let everything be led of the Spirit. And I ask you now just to bless us in the name of Jesus and open each heart that we just come before our Father and our Lord and just say, Lord, I receive. I want to believe everything you have for me. I ask you now to just lead and guide by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's turn to page 93.
I have a title deed of prayer, and mansion glorious will appear. My warfare will be amen, for I stand, yes, I stand on the word. I've a title deed on high, upon high, and I stand on the word. For I stand, yes, I stand on the word.
anyone have a song?
92.
Yep. Clear from all my sin, my condemnation. Don't waste the glory of my spirit roll. Hold in sweet communion with my new found. There is glory, glory in my soul. Oh, there is glory, oh glory in my soul today. Wondrous glory, oh glory. Together in this pill, we in a fellowship of love divine. Faith and hope grow brighter with each new day. There is glory in this soul of mine. Oh, there is glory, oh glory, in my soul today. Wondrous glory, oh glory, all along the way. Peace that passeth telling now my heart. In a life of full of joy and song, heaven's purest pleasure through me as, and my soul is happy all day long. There is glory, oh glory, in my soul. Wondrous glory, all along the way, Pentecostal blessing for my spirit. Glory, glory in my soul. I can rest securely on his faithful as I journey in the narrow way and be happy in the love of my dear. Glory fills my soul each day. Oh, there is glory, oh glory, in my soul today. Wondrous glory, oh glory, all along the way. Pentecostal blessing for my spirit. Glory, glory in my soul. There is glory, oh glory, in my soul today. Wondrous glory, oh glory, all along the way. Pentecostal blessing for my spirit. Glory, glory in my soul. How about 2:10? There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still. And the love lies ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. He keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken streams. He stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing.
rest beneath his sheltering wings. Always looking on his smiling face, and that is why I shout and say,
tonight that you'd like to sing? Okay, then. Christy Rogers, where are you? There she is. Christy's going to be our first speaker. She usually is standing up here doing this. You know how to do it. Vicki Moots, I'm going to ask you to pray, please. Yes, Father, thank you. So I thought my speaking days were over, but the Lord wanted me to do it one more time. So after this, one more time. This is it. Okay. Well, never say never with the Lord. I learned that a long time ago. And I am not a speaker, but I will talk to you about the Lord tonight. So the theme of our message this weekend is trust. So I'm going to start with the meanings of the word trust for all the pastors and all the other speakers. I'll get that out of the way. Although Vicki will probably have more on it. She's so good. Okay. So trust in the Webster's Dictionary means assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, or trust of someone or something. One in which confidence is placed, dependence on something future or contingent, hope. The transitive verb for it is to rely on the truthfulness or accuracy of believe. To place confidence in, rely on, a friend you can trust. To commit
or place in one's care or keeping is in trust. The intransitive verb, please don't ask me what these are, to place confidence, depend, i.e., trust in God. In the Hebrew, trust means to seek refuge. In the Hebrew, I looked up batach, B-A-T-A-C-H, and it means to trust. Bet, B-E-T, it's also B-E-T-A-C-H. B-E-T means inside a tent or home, which we are vessels for the Lord. Our bodies are, I'm at a brain misfunction. Thank you, temples of God. So that meant a lot, meaning inside a tent or home. And in the Greek, pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, means to believe, entrust, in quotes, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ, expectation, hope, faith, and the usage I believe or have faith in or trust in. And I thought those were very meaningful definitions of the word trust. That's a deep word, which I know we're going to be hearing more about this weekend. So I want to talk about my life. A lot of you know my adult life, what I've gone through. But, you know, when I was born, I was not born into a family. My grandmother was saved, but my mother was not yielding to the Lord. I don't know if she was ever saved as a child, but my mom and dad were not saved. Some of you have been in homes where you were born into a Christian family. You were shown lots of love. And maybe some of you weren't. Maybe some of you were like me. You weren't born into a Christian family, and we didn't have much love. My mother was not diagnosed. She was bipolar. She had every symptom that I learned later in life, and she was bipolar, and she was never diagnosed. So I didn't get much love growing up. My sisters and I fought constantly, as sisters do. And we were not saved, so we didn't have that Christ bond that so many have. I know June and Brenda have this Christ bond with each other, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had a sister. I do have spiritual sisters. Thank the Lord, I have so many spiritual sisters, and I'm so thankful for that. I always missed that growing up. So I left home when I was 18 after I graduated high school. I went to Oregon. I was going with Mark at the time, Mark Dutton. He was Brother Smith's nephew. And I was going with him. I had met him in high school. And he gave me a promise ring after I graduated. He was going to college to study for, to be a pastor. And so he felt... So Brother and Sister Smith came to Oregon because Mark's mom was Sister Smith's sister. And we went to camp at Brother Grant's meeting. I don't know if any of you knew Brother Grant. But we went to camp meeting in Washington at his place. And when we got back, Brother Smith approached me about going to Bible school. And they said, if you want to be married to Mark, he's going to be a pastor, you need to know something about the Lord. Because I had never been raised in church. Now, my mom made sure we went to Sunday school every Sunday by either the pastor of that church coming to pick us up or a bus. But they did not go with us. My dad, my stepdad, was an atheist. I remember coming home one day and saying, Daddy, Daddy, what are you saying, Daddy, Daddy? And he said, no, I'm an atheist. I said, what's that? And he said, you'll find out someday. So, but when I was 12, I accepted Jesus into my heart as my Savior at a Southern Baptist church. We had gone to all different kinds of religions growing up in Sunday school, all different kinds. And so to be saved at 12 was a big thing for me. And my mom and my sisters, gradually, each of them got saved too after that. And we stayed in this Southern Baptist church for a few years. But as I grew older in high school, I had a yearning of Christ. It seems like I always had a yearning of Christ. I don't know what age that started. Maybe when I was saved at 12. But it seems like I started reading my Bible every day, and I started wanting to learn more of Jesus. And I think the Lord looked at my heart and said, she wants more of me. And even though my home situation was not good, I was abused, he looked at my heart. He saw my heart. And he decided that when I turned 18, I was going to get away from my home. He was going to take me away from my home. And that's what he did. And so when they approached me about going to Bible school, I said, sure, I'll go. I didn't even think of my family. Didn't bother me one bit. I told my mom, I'm leaving. I'm going to Bible school in Kansas City, Missouri. Didn't say a word. Okay. And the only person I didn't want to leave was Mark. I never trusted anybody in my family growing up. Nobody. But then when I met Mark, I trusted him because he was my first boyfriend. And he loved me. He truly loved me. And so I trusted him for everything. So when he said, I agree with them, you need to go. I did. I did as he said. And I was 3 days on the bus getting to Kansas City. First, I want to read you a verse. Matthew 19, 13 through 15 says, I guess I'm going to have to turn to it. Matthew 19, 13 to 15. When I was little, I believe this is the verse that God had for me. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And in the New King James Version, it says, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. I don't believe my mom felt that way, but I believe my grandma did. And I believe that she encouraged my mom to send us to church, to Sunday school. And we would stay through church too. So I am very thankful that my mother yielded in that way and sent us to Sunday school. I'm very thankful. So as I grew older, in high school, I went to Bible studies in school where they still had them. And that's where I first learned about Jesus coming. And I thought, he can't come now. Everything's pretty normal. I don't see where he could come, you know. Teenager, I was 16. And then when they approached me about going to Bible school, I got to Bible school, and Gene Hawkins met me at the bus. And him and June, they've just always been my strength. They've been so special to me. And we greeted, and he said, I'm going to take you to a picnic. We're having a picnic for the students and for the people at church, so I'm going to take you to a picnic and you can get to know everybody there. And I said, fine. I wasn't scared. I had a peace. The minute I stepped off that bus, everything was calm. It was like I was home. And I didn't worry about anything. I went, I met all the kids. We had a great time. Met all the teachers and the people in the church. And I never looked back. I never went home except to visit. I never moved back home. And I learned to trust at Bible school. The Lord taught me a lot about trust and how I never knew he was with me every day of my life. I can look back now and I can see what he delivered me from every step of growing up. I can see where he delivered me. Have any of you ever done that? Yes, he's delivered me so much because I was abused in every way when I was young. But he delivered me out of that as soon as he could and put me on safe ground. And I still feel humbled by it. I still feel so humbled that he did that for me. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." And I believe that's what he's done for me. He's directed my paths. I didn't know that he had me under his wings. I didn't know that I was acknowledging him by reading the word. I didn't know anything about the word. I just read it. So I didn't even know I could trust the Lord until I got to Bible school and was taught and sat under the word and learned of the Lord. And I grew up spiritually in Kansas City. But I believe that I grew up more after Bible school, because Bible school for me was freedom. I was free from the oppression at home. I was free from the abuse. I didn't know what I had going to Bible school spiritually. So I had more fun than I listened when I went to Bible school, but I didn't realize the value of the word I was hearing until later in life. And I'm so thankful that Christ did not let go of me. He knew my heart still. He knew I wanted more of him. So I was set with an affliction like Paul was. He needed to grab a hold of me, and he did. And I yielded. And I had put confidence in a doctor that I had worked for, and he was a Christian man. I put all my confidence in him, not in the Lord. And so when I got sick, I went to him and said, "What's wrong with me? Why am I not getting better?" Well, he didn't know. For 2 years, he practiced on me, essentially. He did a test after test. He didn't know what was wrong with me. I would crawl on his table and say, "Please just cut my limbs off. It hurts too bad." And he would send me back to work and say, I was taking 18 aspirins a day to try to feel better. Thankfully, the Lord gave me a husband that is a wonderful nurse. I am so blessed to have my husband. He emptied my bedpans. He has done more than any husband could. He's wiped my self. He has helped dress me and bathe me. God just has truly blessed me with my husband. I just can't say any more about him. And he took care of everything. So when I was so sick, I would come home from work and go to bed, literally. So in Psalm 118:8, I lost my hips after 2 years of having arthritis. It says, "It is better to trust in the Lord to put confidence in man." I wish I would have had that verse then. I did not do that. I didn't put my trust in God. I put it in this man, this doctor. And let me tell you, doctors are good. Dr. Vicki Mutz, I'm telling you what, she's the best. But she puts her confidence in God too, not in herself. And that's the way it should be. And he never would admit that he didn't know how to help me. He'd go to my friend and say, "I just don't know what to do for her." But he would not admit that to me. So the Lord made it to where I lost my hips and I had to go seek him. And I did. I sought the Lord. And I never complained. I never said, "Why me, Lord?" I never did any of that because it's not my place to. I just somehow felt it in my soul that I shouldn't complain to the Lord. I should not. He has his best for me always. So I never did. And that's not saying anything about me. I just never felt the need to. And as time went on, I did get a good doctor. I fired my doctor. I went to another one, a good one. And he sent me to the best surgeon in the world. And I was in a wheelchair. I couldn't walk when I did that. I had the surgeon operated on me, and I was walking again. And I was truly thankful to God for that, because to be in a wheelchair, you lose a lot. And it was really hard for me. And yet, I knew something, the Lord would do something. I knew He would. I knew that He would help me. So it seems like with every surgery that I have had, the Lord has taught me through those surgeries and trials. I've had 15 surgeries, and the Lord has taught me through every single surgery about putting my trust in Him, about laying my life down for Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to understand what's going on with you or happening to you. Lean on the Lord. Put your trust in Him. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Praise Him. Tell Him, Lord, I don't understand, but You're going to make it right. And He will direct your paths. He will lead you and guide you. And so that's what happened when I put my trust in Him. And He has led me. He has led Gavin and I. Gavin got rheumatoid arthritis 15 years ago. I remember when I first got arthritis and I was in the hospital with my first hip, we got interviewed by a young intern, and he said, which one of you would rather have this pain? And I said, me. My husband does not tolerate pain. He does not handle pain good. So I want the pain. I will take it on me. And he was doing a study or something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, that was my worst nightmare, was for Gavin to get arthritis. And I prayed and prayed and prayed that, Lord, please don't let Gavin ever get this. Please don't let Gavin ever get this. And sure enough, my nightmare came true. He got rheumatoid arthritis. And when he got it, the doctor said, it really is not contagious. Well, we laughed at that because our dog had it too. And first thing he did was apologize to me. I'm so sorry. I didn't know it was that painful. You were in that much pain. And since then, we have grown closer, of course, through it. God prepared us in our marriage for that test. He prepared us early on in our marriage with a bad trial. And then I got sick. He was preparing us for Him to get it too. And He was drawing us closer to Him. Every time I had surgery, He drew us that much closer to Him. So now together we walk with Him, and we can joke about being sick. We can joke about being in pain. I'll say, oh man, I'm in so much pain. Gavin says, I am too. I'm really hurting. I said, no, I'm in worse pain. My pain is worse. And then we laugh. So the Lord's given us times like that to love each other and share with each other and pray for each other. We lay hands on each other a lot and pray for each other. And we go to the Lord a lot about our arthritis. We even take our infusions together. We both have a port. And we go to our infusion together. We sit in the honeymoon suite is what we call it. It's two chairs set away, and we sit in there to have our infusions. So they know. You guys want the honeymoon suite? Yes, thank you. But the Lord has worked in us. He's drawn us closer to Him. We love talking about Jesus. I love talking about Jesus and what He's done in my life. And you know, now the Lord has us doing something. We have two nephews in Texas that love the Lord. They were here early in their years in Wichita and went to our church for a while. And then when they were teenagers, they moved to Texas with their dad. But they remembered the word they heard in our meeting. They remembered that word. And Rory has always been investigating the Bible, is the best I can say it. He's read it probably three times, and he's always yearned for more of the Lord. So I am not a teacher. I am not a preacher. But the Lord has, we've taken prophecy classes now for, I can't even tell you how many years, because I'm very dense and can't retain what I've heard. And I love hearing prophecy. I love hearing about Jesus coming soon. I love hearing about the bride. And so I just love prophecy. And Gavin and I now, the boys get on Monday nights on Zoom with us, and we're trying to teach them prophecy as best we know it. And I have told them over and over, get on Thursday nights with Gene Hawkins. He teaches it on Thursday nights. And they're like, Aunt Kiss, we want you to teach it to us. So I said, all I have are my notes, what I have in my Bible, and what God has shown me. You need to pray for the Lord to reveal it to your hearts too. And that's what he does in our trials. He's revealing his word to us through our trials, if we're looking for him to. You have to concentrate, move past your trial, and concentrate on what the Lord's working in you through your trial. And sometimes we can't see it till we're through the trial, but that's okay. Look for it continuously. See what God's teaching you in your trials. They're not there just because the Lord wants to give you a pain in your side. He's teaching you. That's how we draw closer to him. That's how we're polishing our crowns. And, you know, as Paul said, you know, it's when I'm weak that I am strong. When we're weak, God's able to lead us. When I'm independent, you know, of the Lord, he can't much do anything because I don't let him. It's my own fault. So I'm going to close with this. In Psalm 91, 1 and 2, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Isaiah 26, 2 through 4, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So if you're going through a trial, ladies, right now, take it to the Lord this weekend. Give it to him and trust him. I mean, every day I pray, Lord, I trust you to do this in my life today. Make me a vessel for you. Every day, you know, and that's what he wants to use us for. So if you're going through a trial, trust him. Come up and give it to the Lord. Pray. That's what this weekend's for, is to trust the Lord. Learn more of that trust. So don't be afraid to come up this weekend and get prayed for or whatever you need you have. Don't be afraid to ask for it. God is with us. Amen. You want it?
That brought a lot of memories to me. Yes. I mean, it really makes you stop and think. Where's the Lord brought you to? I mean, if I got up here, I'd have to talk till next week. You know, as many years as I've lived, and everything, God has been faithful. And even teaches you. I mean, he teaches us how not to complain. Because when I complain, I'm just wasting time. And I've been waiting on him now. You know, it's been on my heart. I say it all the time. What can I do? Nothing. And when we have to come to that place, nothing. I can't do anything to change the circumstance. But he doesn't want to change circumstance. He wants to change me. Let him get in the heart and do a work in us. And I think that's what he just really has impressed on my heart, that it's every day. Every day you wake up. I remember Sister Eula. She had right on the wall by her bed, his mercy is new every morning, and his compassions, they fail not. And I go, I'm thankful I got to clean her house, because everything had a testimony. The whole house maybe had, you know, you can have a home and have things in it, but everything had a testimony. That's what was amazing about that woman. But that was somebody God brought in my life. Let her be there so I could see what it was like to see a woman fall in love with Jesus. And I'm telling you, when she sang, you weren't even here. She would praise the Lord. It was just like sitting with a man. I mean, she really was in love. And I said, Lord, I want to love you like that. I want to love you so much. But him bringing us to that place, that's how it's so amazing, his grace. How did he bring us to this place? I mean, it would have been easy for a lot of us to just say, I'm not going this weekend. I mean, really, if you think about it and be honest, there are so many things and distractions that are being put before us to stop you from going. That tells me there's something good going to happen. If something bad's happening in your life, God is going to do something even greater. If you don't believe it, go in and study Job. That is one of my favorites. A lot of people don't like that book. I go, man, to me, it's a full overcomer. I like looking at someone who had to overcome. He even, his wife, I'm going to stop preaching, so I better shut up. But I'm so thankful to be here, and I love that message. It was because it was, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. Every one of you are to be preaching Christ in your life. It was amazing just to hear. I heard everything Jesus is doing. And I love that. It was beautiful. And if we can, I want us to sing page 37. And then if someone has a testimony or you just want to come up for prayer, whatever, just let the Lord lead. And he'll kiss you with the kisses of his mouth. Page 37, sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place so near, so precious, may it find me there each day.
Does anyone have a testimony? Oh, yeah. Okay. A guy who went to our meeting, his name is Ted Miller, and his wife passed away with a heart attack. And just hold them up in prayer. And remember Kathy and Rod tonight, too. Okay. Rod Moonahan, and if I get anything wrong, sorry, but I remember him saying he was having pain, and Kathy had said they were going to the hospital to, he thought he had gallstones. And so he went to get checked, and it ended up being not gallstones, and they found a spot on his pancreas, and he has pancreatic cancer. So he's been going to the doctor, but then he went in to get a check, and I guess it showed up that it had got into his liver. Now he went back again, and I guess it has increased, but I'm thankful that every time, just keep praying, because, you know, they tell us he had 3 good days, or he had 2 good days. You know, that's wonderful. And now he's going, and they did some kind of block to where he wouldn't have to take so much medicine and, you know, pain medication. And they did a block to where he'll be able to handle the pain a little bit more. And I know there's people everywhere praying. And I think just always pray God's will. God is never too late. He's never too late, but whatever he does is always right. And we don't understand it. You know, it's like one day they're in church and everything's good. And it's like all of a sudden. And that happened to somebody else that went to our meeting. She just came in. She was always happy, doing really good. And she had brain cancer. She was gone within just a short time. So to me, it says, be thankful for who you have. Be thankful the blessings that have been put before you. They could be gone tomorrow. And we need to thank God for those that we can feast upon the word with and put aside all the other things. It's like, it's not even worth it. But I just, I know that they would covet your prayers. And Ted was always something, a special blessing in our meeting. And he hasn't been there. We've been praying. And now we find out this news. So I'm sure everyone has in their meetings different things, and we need to just keep holding up each other. And I think of that one where they were up on the mountain, he had his hands held up. I mean, that tells me he was pretty weak. I told Mom went through a real hard time once, and Eula and I, we just told the Lord, you know, let us take the pain, like Chrissy was saying. I said, you know, that's just too much for my mom to have to take, Lord. I go, let me carry some of that burden. Ugh, it was awful. It was one of the most heaviest, terrible things, but it was still, when I looked at her, she was fine. She was totally, it was, Lord, just let her rest. And we carried that burden for her. But I know it was God's grace, because I couldn't have handled it, and all I could think of was it made me more of a prayer warrior when it was released, and then it goes back to my mother. And it was something she had to go through, and it was she had lost my dad. After many, many years of marriage, he was tired and he left. But I just, you know, these are things that we can hold one another up, the trials that people are going through. I mean, I think of Anita, the different things she's been in. But that draws you closer to that individual. And that's how I felt even closer to her, because I was praying for her family. Jean and June, it's like, I always think of Rob. God always puts him on my heart, and Janine. So it's like there are different people. If you're walking down the street or you just get up and the Lord lays someone on your heart, don't just listen. I mean, don't just like, oh, yeah, pray for him. I will sometime. Right then. They probably need it right at that moment. I wanted to tell Rod, 1:45 in the morning, I am tired. But it was like, I was awake. And it was like, it was lightning and it was thundering. And I was like, wow, how could I doubt God? Look at the power that's going on. And it was like, I'm going to pray for Rod. And I got up, I don't know why, but I went over to the clock and I go, 1:45 in the morning? I got to get up and go to work. But I wasn't tired. That's how God does it. He just, we've got to care. We've just got to care deep, deep within our hearts. Jesus in there. He's a compassionate friend. Well, anybody need prayer tonight? No testimony, so. Yes.
So, as an encouragement, don't ever quit praying. I mean, he was an atheist. He was not involved with God in any way, shape.
Wow.
But God heard our prayers.
Amen. You know, I had a girl I worked with, and she ended up coming to our meeting for a little while, but it was another trial. And every time she would go past me, she didn't like me. I had not done anything to this woman, and I kept praying and saying, God, am I legal? What is it? They say that grace won't mix with legal people. And I just kept praying. And I go, why is she being so mean? But God will open up doors. This is why I'm saying, let Jesus be alive in you. Because he opened up a day she came to work and she was crying and something bad had happened. And who do you think the Lord had sitting right there? Well, it was really him. But I was right there, and it was like he would give me just this love and this compassion. And I said, you know, I'm going to pray for you. She goes, oh, I'm atheist. I go, I'm still going to pray for you. Her dad was 101 years old. Now, see, I could have said, well, I'll stay away from that lady. If she don't like me, it's her loss, and just walk on. I mean, sometimes we don't care because it hurts too much. But the Lord just kept saying, stay there, stay there. And it ended up, she got saved. Her dad got saved on his deathbed. She ended up coming to our meeting. I was in her wedding. It was like, and this was somebody who wouldn't even look at me. I was like, what am I ugly? Why are you being mean to me? But I couldn't go up and ask her, why are you being mean? There was something going on in the inside of her. And I began to pray, Lord, help her. And we ended up being best friends. And I thought, thank you, Lord, that I didn't just think of me and get self-centered and woe is me and nobody likes me. It was like the Lord gave the grace to keep on going. And her dad told her. She was raised, I can't even imagine, raised an atheist. And then no wonder she hated me because that was, I really just was falling in love with Jesus. That was right after I got filled with the Holy Spirit and moved to Gardner. And I'm telling you, it was like he moves mountains. God is interested in people. He truly is. He doesn't want anyone to perish. But I just think of, you know, her, and we heard about atheists tonight, and I thought, gosh, there it is again. I don't even know where she is today now. But, you know, the Lord had her hear the word from Jean, and she was a blessing, a real blessing. And Daddy's with the Lord. How much better? 101. Now, you talk about God's patience and long-suffering and his forbearance. This man said, I'll never do that. Never, never, never. And he gave his heart to the Lord. So that's a blessing.